You feel more powerful this morning?
Yes.
You ready to move forward with your life, your new life in Christ?
Yes.
A life of power, a life of love, a life of overcoming everything and anything that has ever come your way, right?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to unwrap this morning. Are you ready to unwrap?
Yes.
All right, beautiful. All right. I was, well, okay, what is she talking about? It's not the kind of wrapped R-A-P, so we unwrap, but it's a different kind of unwrap. Anybody get any Valentine's gifts, like, you know, right, huh? Yeah, one of those, you know, those beautiful hearts, right, with all the candies inside, right? And in order to get at it, what did you have to do with it? Unwrap it, see? Isn't it so important to unwrap things in your life, right? And, you know, when we open up that heart, what's inside, all these goodies, right? And so for each and every one of you, every time God opens up your heart and unwraps you, good comes out, right? Good comes out. And so that's why we always want to be a people of unwrapping things, because the good stuff comes from inside. And we can only share one another's love to each other by unwrapping ourselves. Because some people are all wrapped up in themselves, aren't they? We call that ego, right? Edging God out. All wrapped up, me, myself, and I. That's a very lonely trinity, I must say. But it's more important that what God wants us to do is unwrap ourselves, to reveal ourselves, who we are truly. The good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're not perfect, right? But we all have beautiful, awesome gifts to share with one another, don't we? Yes, we do. And we as a church, we have an important mission, and that's to help people get unwrapped. Because some people are wound a little too tight, aren't they? They're right? So, you know, life happens to everybody, doesn't it? And so many things can go wrong in this life. And people need hope. People need faith. People need somebody to give them encouragement and to help them in their situation in which they find themselves, right? And sometimes we have to help people get unwrapped. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And where I take this from is from the book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11, a familiar story. This is a story about a man by the name of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus was sick, and he dies. And so they send for Jesus, of course, and for him to come. And so when he arrives, the first thing out of Martha and Mary's mouth were, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And sometimes we think that. Sometimes when we think that if we can just get God involved and Jesus involved, bad things won't happen, right? But bad things can happen to all of us, can't they? Whatever we perceive, some kind of loss of some kind. But see, that's never the end of the story. You always have to remember that. You always have to remember there's another beginning after that. Even when things come to an end, there's another beginning, always, always, always. And so we're going to pick up the story in John 11, verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to pay their respects and console Martha and Mary on their loss. So there's a crowd gathered, right? And Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Mary stayed at home, and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Odd thing, right? What is she wanting Jesus to do? Her brother's already dead. What do you think she wants from Jesus now? Some kind of miracle. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. You see the beginning of the next life for Lazarus, right? Your brother will rise again. Each and every one of us will rise again. No matter where you are in this life at any given moment, literally or figuratively or spiritually speaking, you will rise again, always. Yes, Martha said, when everyone else rises on Resurrection Day. So she corrects Jesus. I think she knew Peter a lot. Yes, see, she was Jewish, and that was their belief. The Jews believed that there was going to be one Resurrection Day only. when the Messiah came, right? So she tells Jesus of her belief. I believe he's going to rise from the dead on that day, that given day when everybody else rises. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and life. Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else does, including your brother Lazarus, they will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. So death is not what? Permanent. Final. Exactly. Do you believe this, Martha? So he's questioning Martha, trying to see what she believes, right? And she says, yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. But she believed he was the Messiah. She didn't know he was the resurrector, though, did she? There's a difference. The Messiah was going to come and free Israel, right? And the Messiah was going to come and make everything peaceful, right? That's the Messiah, how the Jews saw the Messiah. But see, Jesus was more than just the Messiah to bring peace. He also came to bring eternal life, right? That was his purpose. And that life does not end. Whether we have little endings to our life throughout our life, because there are many changes that happen in our life, do they not? Right? Especially if you have white hair and used to have black hair. But you do, things change. But that's a new beginning of a whole other wisdom thing, right? Supposedly. Anyway. Then she left him and returned to Mary, and she said, she called Mary aside and said, the teacher is here and wants to see you. Kind of interesting. She calls him the teacher. Isn't it interesting that she doesn't go say, hey, Mary, Jesus has told me that he's the resurrection and the life. She says he's the teacher. Well, he's teaching her about resurrection and life, kind of like I am, right? But he is the resurrection and the life. Interesting. Now, Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people were at the house trying to console Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. This is what happens when we know that someone has gone through a loss. Where do we expect to find them? By the graveside, right? Weeping. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's missing the point too, isn't she? People are going to die. We all are. That's part of our life cycle. And people are also going to rise again. So even though death comes to us in many different forms, like change, right? Change can be a death of some kind, the death or a loss or a change of something that was at one time, there's always a new life. Is there not? Yes? All right. We believe that? You believe that, Martha? Are you in the crowd today? Yes. Mary? When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, he was moved with indignation. He's like, you guys just don't get it. And he was deeply troubled by this. He wanted people to believe in life after death. I want you to believe this morning in life after life after life after life. And even when something changes or you lose something, there is what? New life. Life does go on in many different forms, does it not? Yes. And you will rise again and again and again and again. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. Now, did he weep because of Lazarus dying? Or was he weeping that maybe folks didn't quite understand him? I feel sad just like he does many times when even those of you and us that go through loss, when we it's okay to grieve and it's okay to feel that loss. But when somehow we don't quite understand life is everlasting and move into that next level of resurrected life, and or when you change you know, you ever get changed? Anybody in the room ever changed? All right, beautiful. So, and your old self sort of like is like uncomfortable with this new self? Anybody, right, you know, right? Yeah, oh, yes. We feel sorry for you that you don't grasp and hold on to that new life that you've been given and make something new and different and beautiful of what you have now, right? We only have when? Now. And so we have to make the most of now. Correct, very nice. Then here's what the people say. See how much he loved him. But some said, this man had healed a blind man. Why couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? If Jesus is so great, why didn't he save Lazarus? Right? Do we not sometimes say, God, you're so good to so many people. Why haven't you stopped this calamity or situation from happening? Right? Do we not question God that way? We always expect God to step in on our behalf, don't we? But sometimes God has other sovereign reasons for why he's doing what he's doing, right? We have to learn to know that there's a new life coming. We just don't know what that looks like sometimes. Again, Jesus was troubled. He's troubled by their response, their lack of belief. Then he came to the grave. It was a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. And he says, roll the stone aside, he told them. Now, isn't it interesting to you that this is Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrector, right? And who does he call upon to roll the stone aside? The people standing there. Why didn't he just go, zap, bang, boom, bam, boom, bah, ha? Roll aside the stone. Moveth thou it out of thy way. What does he do? He calls on who? The people. See, this is the first example of how we are engaged with God, and God means for us to be engaged. When somebody dies, either literally or figuratively, or things die in your lives, and we sometimes on the outside see that, God calls upon us all to move aside the stone out of that person's tomb. When someone's entombed by whatever it is that has them chained up, bound up, or perhaps they're just something's blocking their way to get live their life to the very fullest, it's our role, as Jesus tells us, to roll aside the stone. It's our role. You understand? We're designed and we're called by God to get involved with other people. And we don't just leave them in the grave. We don't just leave them in their circumstance. We don't just leave them in their sorrow and in their grief and in their giving up or their hopelessness. It's our job, as Jesus told those people, roll aside the stone. Get involved. You get your hands dirty. So just imagine, those people were like going up to the stone and rolling it aside. And here's what transpires. Martha says, whoa, 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 wait, 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 whoa, 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 Jesus, hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Lord, by now the smell will be terrible. Oh, my God, don't open that stone. Don't roll it or don't open the grave. It's going to smell like, Let us get a mask first. Let me get a clothespin for my nose. He's been dead for 4 days. See, sometimes people in our lives, they stink, don't they? Not in a literal sense, but maybe in, you know. But think about this. Very often, when we are depressed and we are isolated and we're in our cave and we feel we've given up sometimes, right? Many times depressed people, they don't shower. They don't eat. They don't take care of themselves. They just stay in bed. Until somebody rolls aside the stone, knocks on the door. Come out wherever you are. And or some things in our life get on us, don't they? I mean, sometimes circumstances can get on us, right? Garbagey things, right? You know what I'm talking about, literally or not, right? Does life not get on us? Worry, fear, right? Other circumstances, abuse of some kind, things that we go through, they stick to us, don't they? Don't they? We need a spiritual shower from time to time, don't we, right? Yes, we do. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? See, here's Jesus has a plan in mind. Now, does Jesus care that Lazarus smells? Do we care if you smell? No. That might not be your calling. All right.
I'm sorry.
If you've ever been around anybody who's sick and in a hospital, you walk in that room and it's like, But that's illness. That's physical illness. But sometimes people's lives, because of what they've been through, some of the hurt, some of the pain, some of the sorrow, some of the abuse, whatever they've gone through, some of the losses, some of the tragedies, whatever it is, things that happen to us all, right? Sometimes that stays on us, doesn't it? And we kind of give off an odor in terms of our attitude towards life, perhaps. We become cynical. We become angry. We feel put upon. And we sometimes have these pity parties for ourselves, right? And you know what God calls us to do? Still get into their life. See, that's what churches are for. We're not here to have you all spit-shined and all beautiful every single Sunday because we know some of you have issues. How do we know that? We got issues. Just in case you didn't know. So he says, didn't I tell you you will see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. See, Martha was trying to stop Jesus, right? Oh, take it easy. Nothing stops Jesus from helping somebody. And nothing should ever stop us from helping somebody, no matter where they're from, no matter what they look like, no matter what they've been through, no matter what kind of mess they are when they come here to this church, we don't care, right? We're here to say, roll aside the stone. And so the people did. Isn't that good that they followed instructions? And they also had to roll aside the stone because the very next thing that takes place is Jesus begins to pray. He says, God, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. He's still trying to help who? The crowd believe in his power of resurrecting life. Then Jesus shouted, which is another reason we had to get the stone rolled aside, because, you know, Lazarus is in the tomb, right? If the stone's in front of him, he can't what? Hear. Well, he's also dead, but he can't hear. But see, sometimes, right, when you're in relationship with other people and you're trying to tell them how great God is and how powerful God is and how God can change and transform your life for the better, right, and that God can see you through, sometimes you not feel like there's, like, earplugs in people's ears, right? We have to unstop those ears, right? And then Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. So he calls him out. This is how God calls people to come from a place where they were. And that's our job and our calling as a church, is to call people out of their darkness, out of that place of death, and out of that place of sorrow, out of that place of hopelessness, right? We're here to call people out of that place of their past, right? So he calls them out. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. So let me give you a picture of this. I need a volunteer. Oh, there, look, there's one. So I wanted to get you a picture. Now, first of all, you got to understand, Lazarus was a poor man. Why we know this is, one, he's in a cave. He's not in the kind of tomb that Jesus was in. Jesus, remember Joseph of Arimathea put Jesus in a beautiful tomb, right? Right outside of the garden, right? Different kind of place. So Lazarus, we know, was poor. He would have been totally wrapped in cloths, just cloths that they found that they used that were junk. So I have some of that here. So to give you an idea, Lazarus is all wrapped up in grave clothes. Now, some of the grave clothes he might have worn might have been his fears of the past or his issues with his family. They might have been something that, you know, other people put on him about who he was supposed to be or not supposed to be. And those are some of the things that maybe caused some of his illness that caused him to die. Maybe his lack of belief in God, who's to say? Maybe the hurt and the pain of other people. Maybe the beliefs that other people said, oh, you're just not good enough. Or maybe it was somebody that was like really, really important that came by and saw him one day who happened to stay at the Hilton. And They were a rich person, but they also knew Lazarus. So they, you know, they did their part in wrapping him up in those cloths. And then it also says that there was actually a cloth over his face. So that's what Lazarus kind of looked like. Now, of course, his feet would have been bound, but obviously not tight enough, because he was able to do what? Walk out of the grave. So he had just enough movement in those 2 feet of his to be able to just barely move forward towards Jesus. Now, the next thing that transpires is Jesus says now again to the crowd, unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go. Is anybody going to unwrap him and let him go? Unwrap him and let him go. Now, as you could see, Lazarus could not do it for himself, could he? Will you please stop trying to change your life for yourself? Will you please stop saying, well, I can do this. I can get out of my mess. I can take care of myself. I'm perfectly fine doing this. And you're hobbling along through life all wrapped up with all your stuff, right? Right? See, we as a church, we're here to unwrap you. And listen, now here's the thing. Not only was he unwrapped, he still stunk, most likely. What would happen next? They would bathe him. They would wash his feet, right? Remember how Jesus washed the disciples' feet? Cleansed him, spruced him up. And Lazarus was given what? New life. New life. New life. Each and every one of you are wrapped up some way, shape, or form if you were to tell the truth. Now, you may not look as fashionable as Lazarus did, and you might have not had the most glamorous of clothing to wrap you up in all that, although some of us do wear, you know, the outside, we look pretty good, and yet inside we're hurting. And very often we come out of the cave and go back into the cave, go out of the cave, back into the cave, right? You notice that Jesus not only said unwrap him, but let him go. And see, let him go into the place that God wants him to be next, right? And Lazarus also had to be willing to go, right, into that new life. And, you know, shortly thereafter this, as the story goes on, they had a party after the fact, and Lazarus was there, and everybody came to see that Lazarus, although he was dead once for 4 solid days, Christ had risen him and given him new life. And the people were the ones that helped along the way. See, Jesus could have done all this by himself, right? He could have just rolled the stone aside, zapped those clothing right off of him. But see, that's not what God wants from us. It's plain and simple in the scriptures here. We are all in this together. And we are all here to either notice first of all, there's somebody dying inside, spiritually, emotionally, or otherwise. We need to be paying attention to that. Secondly, we go to their cave, wherever that, or however that is. And then we, as a church or as a person, whoever you might be, you might know people in your own life that need something rolled out of their way that's blocking them from getting to God. And then when they're all wrapped up in their pain and whatever they're in, be there to help unwrap that for them, right? That's what Christ asks us to do. And even when Jesus resurrected, as it's told in John 20, the angels came and evidently unwrapped him. Because remember when Peter and John ran into the tomb in John 20? They found what? The burial cloths and the linen that was over Jesus' face at one time set aside. Each and every one of you that have your grave cloths on of some kind, of something that's happened to you, we don't know what these represent. They're just physical robes that Some of them were cleaner and dirtier than others. Some got coffee stains on them, and one of them was really, really fancy. But all of us have those kind of things in our life, don't we? All have something that's stopping us from moving forward. Yes? Are you ready to unwrap this morning and be unwrapped? So I'm going to ask the pastors, roll aside the stone. All right, nice job. I don't know what's blocking in your... Wait a minute, this person has a block right here. This person needs a little help. This person. This person's got a big stone right in front, just like this. That person. Oh, you're just listening, right? What would it take to roll aside that stone? All right, it moved, it moved, it moved. Hallelujah. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And as we now end the sermon portion of this message to all of you, I want to encourage you and do as Jesus did, to exhort you to be a person who rolls stones out of people's way. The blocks that are in people's way, be somebody who moves that away and uncovers their face in the sense of helping their eyes see God's love and God's mercy and God's resurrecting power. And if you see somebody struggling and maybe they're stuck in their past, which is, I think, what many of us, those are the cloths that are around us, are they not? Us, or maybe lack of forgiveness, not letting go of somebody else and releasing them and forgiving them, or maybe forgiving ourselves. Those are the things that bind us up, are they not? So we're going to loose you of that today. We're going to unwrap you. Because you know what? You're all beautiful hearts with gooey, ooey, gooey candy inside. That we all love. We want you to share that with us, right? God is calling you out of your tomb today. God is calling you out. And you know that song, I'm coming out, let's get this party started. That's a different song. But anyway. It would do us no good, absolutely, if you stayed in your grave this morning. I'd like to call you out of your pain, your sorrow, your hurt, anything that has happened in your life that's keeping you stuck. I want to call you out of that this morning and say you can have new life because you can rise again. Rise again. We have been given eternal life through Jesus Christ, and the eternal life, part of it that we've been given, is given to us right now. So on the count of three, I guess what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to ask you to unwrap. I'm going to ask you to unwrap. So what that means is, just open up. Just release. As God calls you to a new life, though you were once dead, now you have risen again. And so I call you now all out of that life where you used to live into the light, into new life in Christ. Come out. Come out. Everybody, come out into the light and enjoy this life to the fullest. To the fullest. You've been given new life today, right here, right now. Begin today with your new life, right here, right now. The past is gone, dead and buried. You have new life in Christ right here, right now. You've been given a second chance, Lazarus. Guess what? You have a new opportunity today to live life to your absolute fullest. Are you ready to do it, church?
Yes.
Get